Good morning.
Good morning.
That is loud. There is a bunch of y'all here this morning. Good morning, y'all. I promise y'all, Jeremy did not know what I was going to preach today before he picked out that scripture, and that's just awesome how well it ties into everything. While I'm getting ready for everything, if y'all want to and you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If I can get this thing to work. There we go. Oh, right. I don't know how I ended up right there. Anyhow. All right. I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. All right. The past 7 weeks, we have been going through the book of 1 Timothy. We have been in our sermon series, How to Behave in the Household of God. And throughout the last 7 weeks, we have touched on different topics as we went through the first 5 chapters. We first started off with truth, and throughout each week, we've gone through and we have talked about our wonderful little display that we've got here. We've got some tea and candles to symbolize mental health. We've got some literature up here for emotional health. And surrounded by everything is the Word of God. That is for the spiritual health. And as we've gone through, we went from truth and then into the matters of prayer and the importance of prayer and how a church will grow through prayer. And if you want to have a healthy and happy church, that prayer is important and it's essential. And then we touched on roles, that everyone is equal in the eyes of God, but that we all have our own specific roles and that we are all made for something in the body of Christ. And of course, we touched on leadership and the importance of leadership, how to honor your leaders and how to support them in their needs. And we went into faithfulness, that you should remain faithful to the Lord and faithful to one another to serve your church. And then we went into training. And we talked about the importance of not only physical training, but of spiritual training, so that you can grow and that you can further know God. And last week, we touched on honor and the importance of honor, not only honoring your spiritual elders, but also honoring one another. And that leads us into a scripture where we start out today. And we're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 2. We're technically starting at teach and exhort these things, but I'm going to read the entire verse and not just cut it right in the middle. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things of honor. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you would, please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to get to rightly divide your word. God, I pray that you would just be with me and that what you would want spoken here today is what is said, Lord. God, I pray that it falls on to open and understanding hearts, Lord, that you would use it to draw people closer to you, and that anybody that does not know you would come to know you through this, Lord, and that anybody that needs to better their relationship with you, Lord, would do so. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen. That leads us into our topic today. Priorities matter. Who knows this guy? Spider-Man. The coolest superhero. No, I'm just kidding. He's my favorite. As I was preparing for this sermon, I kept having the same thought over and over again. Why do priorities matter? Where do priorities lie? What do priorities indicate about us that would tell of where our heart lies? And over again, he kept popping up in my mind. I think if there's a story about Spider-Man, I've probably read it, watched it, or heard it. And I noticed something as I was sitting here and I was thinking about the importance of priorities, that not only with Spider-Man, but with many superheroes, the same story is told over and over and over again. When you're tasked with writing a story about someone who is larger than life, who has these supernatural abilities, there's only one avenue that you can pursue to actually tell a compelling story, and it's through their humanity. You have to go and you have to look at their weaknesses, and you have to look into where they fall short in order to be able to tell a story, because you can't just over and over again, oh, he did everything and everything went well, because we know life doesn't work like that. But as I was preparing for this, I thought of Spider-Man, and I thought of the story that reoccurs over and over again, and it's, he gets so involved with being Spider-Man and doing good things and saving people that Peter Parker's life starts to fall apart because he spends all his time as Spider-Man, and he doesn't spend his time doing the stuff that he needs to outside of his job or outside of being Spider-Man. And this thought kept reoccurring to me. We can't stop doing God's things just because we're doing good things. Peter Parker always finds a way to be limited in the life of Spider-Man because Spider-Man is so busy and he has so many important things to do. But just because he's doing good things, that doesn't mean that it should take away from all of the other things that he has in his life. Now, obviously, Spider-Man doesn't know the Lord, I'm sure, but he does still have priorities that he has to attest to. And over again, he nearly loses his relationship with his fiance and many different things because his priorities fall out of alignment. And that leads us back into our scripture, verse 2. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Paul right here is warning his young protege, Timothy, of people that would abuse the gospel of Christ for personal gain. He talks about these people that we still see today that would use the gospel and they would use Jesus as a way to make money, that they would use it to prosper themselves and not advance the kingdom of God. He's warning him of abusers of the gospel for personal gain. He tells Timothy, and he tells in all of his gospel, or in all of his epistles, that he was willing to lose things for the sake of Christ. Never do we see Paul say, oh, well, if you follow Christ, it's going to be easy for you, and that it's going to pay off for you. It's going to make you rich and make you very successful. Usually it's the contrary. In the book of Philippians, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. It wasn't that if you follow Christ, you would be wildly successful, but it was that if I have to lose everything in order to follow Christ, I'm willing to do that. His priority was to do first and foremost what God said that he needed to do, and it didn't matter what the cost of that was going to be. And that leads us into our central verse for today's message. 1 Timothy 6:6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. And that leads me to the thought of our priorities. When they align with God's, there is nothing that we can't overcome. Here recently, I've had a run-of-the-mill of it in my personal life. Our car blew up on us. We found out that we were not going to be able to stay where we've been. It's just been one thing after another. But through all of this, I've been able to see God work, and I've been able to see him do things and provide for other people and work through other people to show his self to me through them. Had some of the bad things that have happened to me not happened, other people would not have had the ability to obey God and to help me in ways that needed to be done. And I'm going to tell on myself for a minute here. We're going through a wonderful study on our Sunday evenings, experiencing God. And a few weeks ago, we were a little bit lean on people. I think we had 10 or 15 people. And Mark decided to keep us all in one large group. And it was a wonderful time, and I enjoyed that. But towards the end of it, after we did everything, he asked us if there was anything throughout the week that really stuck out to us. And at the end of each day, you pick out one verse or one statement that really resonated with you. And then you reword it into a prayer, and then it makes you think about how God may be speaking to you through it. Well, the one I chose throughout that entire week to talk about was this verse right here. Isaiah 46:11. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And I was content to go ahead and leave it right there when Mark asked, and I read that off. And I was like, yep, that was it. And if anybody was there, you probably noticed I was more than happy to leave it right there. But Mark went ahead and said, well, why is that? Why does that verse resonate with you so much that that's what stuck out with you throughout the entire week of us doing the study? And at first, I wasn't really sure. I didn't know why that verse resonated with me so much, and I actually had to read it. I think my answer was, well, sometimes I find myself being a doubting Debbie. And when I went back and I read it, I noticed something, and I think it revealed in me a lack of truth or a lack of trust in God. It revealed in me that even though my priorities may be aligned with him, that I don't always want the same thing that he does, or I don't always trust him to do what he says he's going to do. See, it says, I've purposed it, I will also do it. Well, when I'm going through all these hard things and all of the things around me seem like they're falling apart, I come back to God and I said, Lord, you said you have purposed it and you will also do it. If there's a purpose to all this, I would really like to see what it is, and I would like to see what you're going to do with it. And as everything was happening and I started to actually seek God, and I said, God, I do want to align my priorities with you. If I'm going to preach a sermon about priorities, I want them to be on the same track. I don't think you're allowing all this hardship to happen for no reason. I want to see what you're doing through it. And as I went to him in prayer, and I seeked our Father, and I said, Lord, what is the point of this? I started to see things from a different perspective. It wasn't that I was just simply going through things for the sake of going through them. I thought it may be a testing of my faith, but I don't think it was just that. I started to see people obey God and to display the love of Jesus to me by helping me and by providing stability in the midst of a lot of chaos. I got to see people that needed to do this for their own growth do it, and I got to see the benefit of that for them through it. And I say all of that to say that bad things can happen, but you grow to see him in it whenever the bad things do happen. If your priorities align with the Lord's, you'll begin to see him through the dark things and the hard things. And I could say that from a place of honesty because I've been going through it, amen. If you will align yourself with him, it doesn't make it easier, but it gives it purpose. And it leads us back into verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Does that mean that we're not allowed to be wealthy, church? Does the Lord want us to never have anything and for us to always just be barely getting by, having to always look for the next opening? No, of course not. He wasn't literal when he told the rich young ruler, give everything that you have and follow me. Now, he may have wanted him to, but that doesn't apply to every single one of us. If he wanted us to give every single thing that we have, how would we feed our children? How would we have anything? Why would we need to work if he didn't want us to have anything? You can't be generous with nothing. You can be generous with little, but not with nothing. So what it indicates is that it's a matter of your heart. The posture of your heart is what your money is going to be guided to. And that same thing overlaps with everything else in our life. If your heart is where it needs to be, if your priorities align with God, then he can use you and he can do with you and the resources he's given you how he sees fit. He follows it up in the next verse, for the love of money. Notice I underline love of money. This is a very misquoted scripture. A lot of people say, well, money's the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money that is. Money's a tool. It's the love of it that is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of money that people destroy their lives over. The love of money is root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Jesus had this to say about it. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. There's nothing wrong with wanting to provide for your family. Fathers, husbands, I'm speaking to you a little bit more here from experience. It's okay to want to provide for them. We were made with the nature to provide. But if your priority is just to make money so that you can get more things, that you can buy more things, that's wrong. All of that's going to pass away at the end of the age. But if your purpose is so you can uplift your family so that you can be generous and give to other people. Then your priorities align with the Lord, and you're doing His will, and you're helping other people. He doubles down on this, and he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you're seeking the Lord first, whatever He gives you, you are going to use to do His will. It's not that He doesn't want you to have anything, and it's not that He wants you to go through a bunch of hard things for no reason. He didn't put me in a hard situation just so I could be tested and then move on about it. He has deeper plans at hand than that. It's not simply just to go through hard times because you need to go through hard times. And sometimes it can be. Sometimes it can be. I'm sure it wasn't very fun in the prison for Paul writing the book of Philippians. But it is one of the most joyful books we had because he understood that he was in bondage for our Lord. He was in bondage for the sake of the gospel. It wasn't simply that he's in chains because God's mad at him. No, I'm in chains so that I can show you, I can be an example that if you put your faith in God, if your priorities align with what He has for your life, then there's meaning and there's purpose behind all this. That leads me into a question. Why do priorities matter? Why does it matter? Why does it matter how and where we put our priorities and our time? First and foremost, it's because our ministry is to our family first. That's something that I've had a hard time dealing with myself. It's something I have to renew in my mind every single day. I said earlier that do not allow good things to get in the way of God things. And that can be work. That can be helping other people. If you allow these good things to trump what God has for you, if you don't spend enough time with your family but you're doing a bunch of good things, your life can still start to crumble. Even though you're doing a bunch of right things, even though you're doing something that is good that the Lord would want you to do, if you're not putting your priorities first, if you're not putting your family first, if you're not putting your children and your wife first, the other stuff is great, but it's not going to help you in the long run. And I say this to fathers because we are usually the problem in that. We usually spend too much time at work. We usually spend too much time trying to provide. And you can provide financially for your family all day long, but if you're not providing spiritually, what's the use? And lastly, our priorities matter because we cannot faithfully serve God if our plans don't align with His. If we want to serve God rightly, if we want to do what He's calling us to do, we have to go where He's calling us. I talked about the experience in God study we've done, and the greatest truth that I have come to know through it, and it actually completely changed the way that I think and believe. I used to think that we did things and we said, God, please come into this. I want to serve you in this. But it's revealed to me that He actually is always working and He invites us into things because He wants us to be a part of His plans. Nate, you can start heading up, everybody. If we pursue Him and we make Him the Lord over everything in our life, if we align our priorities with what He wants, everything else is going to work itself out. But priority number one, if we don't have Him as the Lord of our life, nothing else matters. If He's not the one that you wake up every day for looking to serve, none of this matters. You're not going to be able to lead your family correctly. You're not going to be able to provide correctly. You're not going to be able to do any of the good stuff that He has for you because you've got priority number one out of whack. But once you get to that understanding, once you do have Him as the Lord of your life, and He is the one that directs your paths, and He's the one that leads you beside the still waters, you can do anything that He needs you to do. He can use you for a wonderful vessel. Amen. We're going to take this next little bit of time. If you are not right with God, please come and be made right with Him. If you are right with God and your priorities are out of whack, this is a time that you can come and you can talk to Him about it. He wants you to know that He loves you. And He wants you to know that He only calls you into correct priorities because He has something more for you than what this world has to offer. Amen. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Amen. If you would, please pray with me. Lord Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the ability to get to minister Your word, Lord, and to have all of these wonderful people here, Lord, that get to listen and they get to grow in You, Lord Jesus. God, I just pray that anybody that does not know You would come to know You, Lord God. And I pray that anybody that needs to correct something with You, Lord, that they would take this time to do it. God, I thank You for Your love, and I thank You for Your grace and Your compassion. And it's in Your name that I pray.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.